الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين كفروا لو أن لهم ما في الأرض جميعا ومثله معه ليفتدوا به من عذاب يوم القيامة ما تقبل منهم ولهم عذاب أليم. يريدون أن يخرجوا من النار وما هم بخارجين منها ولهم عذاب مقيم. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول: يا مقلب القلوب، ثبت قلبي على دينك، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. In life, there are many things that we take for granted. And not many, but most of the things that we enjoy in life are taken for granted. Just take the example of water or electricity. That now recently, when we had the water crisis or the electricity disruption, then did we realize what was the value of having a proper water supply or having that electricity just at the flick of a button. But then, as the famous Arabic saying goes, that قَدْرُ النِّعْمَةِ بَعْدَ الزَّوَالِ, that you will only appreciate a ni'mat, you will only appreciate a bounty and a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are deprived of it. So in life, there are many such bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us and favored us with, that we tend to take them for granted. But then the greatest of all bounties, the greatest of all favors, is the favor of iman. The favor of having that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That just this water or this electricity, it was such that if we were deprived of it, life was still possible to continue. We still managed through that turmoil, through that crisis, and we came out of it, alhamdulillah. But then, when it comes to this ni'mat of iman, if this ni'mat has to be taken away, then it isn't just a crisis for a few days. It will be a perpetual crisis, a crisis that will be forever in the akhirat and in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the Quran, of the disbelievers, that in the akhirat, what will be their plight, what will be their condition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one ayat of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَهُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ, that those who disbelieved and they passed away in this condition of kufr and disbelief, then when they would appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, then they will be wishing and desiring that now how will we be able to ransom ourselves, just protect ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, let alone enter into Jannah, but just to save themselves from the torment and the atrocities and the difficulty of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لو أن لهم ما في الأرض جميعا, that if they had all the wealth that the earth contains, ومثله معا, and not only that amount, but double its amount, ليفتدوا به من عذاب يوم القيامة, just in order to protect themselves and to ransom themselves from the عذاب and punishment of the day of Qiyamah, ما تقبل منهم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it will never be accepted from them. For the wealth of this world can never match the value of iman. Iman is an invaluable bounty and ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with. No value, no price can ever be attached to it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain that when they would then be cast into the fire of Jahannam, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. That time and again, they will attempt to come out of the fire of Jahannam. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنْهَا. But they will never succeed in them coming out of Jahannam. And they will just have to face that punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perpetually, forever and ever. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that when that disbeliever would appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, then one person will be brought forward. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address him and tell him that, أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ كَانَ لَكَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That, oh disbeliever, tell me that if you had everything on the surface of the earth, that if everything had to belong to you, أَكُنْتَ مُفْتَدِيًا بِهِ. That would you give this just in order to protect yourself and save yourself from the fire of Jahannam? So he would reply and say that, Ya Rabbi Na'am. That, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most definitely, I would give everything that I have just in order to protect myself from the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reply and tell him that, Kadhabta. That you are lying. For I had asked you for something much more simple and much more easier than that. That you had to just recite the kalima, just testify to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, testify to the risalat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you would have been able to protect yourself from the fire of Jahannam. But this very simple and easy procedure you had failed to adopt. So now you would have to face the punishment of Jahannam perpetually and forever. But then by us having this ni'mat of Iman, it does not mean that we are guaranteed to live our lives with Iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained in the hadith that a time would come close to Qiyamah, that yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira, wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira, yabi'u deenahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya. That in the morning a person will have Iman, by nightfall he will be already out of Iman and in kufr. Or at night this person would go to sleep with Iman, but by the morning he would already be out of the pale of Islam and in kufr and in disbelief. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted one of the reasons, the chief cause for this movement from Iman and Islam into kufr and disbelief, that يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. That he will be prepared to sell his Iman, to sell his deen, just for a few coppers of this world. That when that love of the dunya overwhelms a person, and his heart is filled with that love of dunya, then now Iman would lose its value in the eyes of this person. And anything enticing that comes his way, immediately he is prepared to sacrifice his deen just in order to gain those few coppers of this world. So by a person merely having that Iman, or by him calling himself a Muslim and a mu'min, that is not sufficient. In fact, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala explains and says that كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُكْثِرُ أَن يَقُولُ. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very often would recite this dua, that يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. That, oh the turner of hearts, oh the controller of hearts, that make my heart firm and steadfast upon your deen. That ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. So Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that فَقُلْتُ هَلْ تَخَافُ عَلَيْنَا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it such that you have some type of fear, some type of concern for us? وَقَدْ آمَنَّا بِكُ وَبِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ. Whereas we have brought Iman in you, we know what are the tenets of faith, we know what are the pillars of Islam, we know what Iman entails, and we have brought Iman on all that you have brought and presented to us. So why is it that you are making such a dua? That, oh Allah, the turner of hearts, the controller of hearts, allow our hearts to be firm and steadfast upon deen. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said that, قَالَ نَعَمْ. That, yes, I have that fear, not only for you, but for myself as well. إِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ بَيْنَ إِسْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ اللَّهِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ شَاءَ. That our hearts are not in our control. Our hearts are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can just turn a person's heart however he wishes. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that this person's heart should be turned against Iman and Islam, then just within a moment, within a flash of a second, that person can just turn his back against Iman and Islam. He would have been a reciter of the kalima, he could have been a hafiz of the Qur'an and Majid. But just one utterance of his, one statement of his, can just take him out of the fold of Islam. And that will be his deprivation forever and ever, perpetually, and he will then be deprived of that Iman. So this bounty and this ni'mat of iman is such that it can never be treated very lightly and insignificantly. It needs to be cherished. It needs to be preserved. It needs to be taken well care of. But then, together with taking care of our iman, it is essentially important of understanding how we should be taking care of our iman. That it isn't like a person just storing that water away, that now at the time of a crisis, I will have some water at my disposal. Iman doesn't work like that. For iman, as explained in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is entirely in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the preservation of iman and Islam will be how we react to iman and Islam. How we react to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is our response to the injunctions of deen, to the injunctions of Islam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala explains and says, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained and said, that mafatihul jannati shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. That the keys to jannat are the testification that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each one of us, by acknowledging and by accepting iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have got that key in our hands. But then as the famous tabi'i, the famous scholar of deen, Wahab bin Munabbih rahimahullah, has explained, لِكُلِّ مِفْتَاحٍ أَسْنَانٍ, that every key has teeth on it. That if that key hasn't been cut correctly, then no matter how hard a person will try, what efforts he makes, but he will never be able to open that lock. Why? Because that key hasn't been cut correctly. The teeth haven't been made correctly. So we would have that iman. So that is just the key. But then what would be, allow us to cut that key so that we will have the proper teeth on it. So that will be able to open that lock towards Jannah. And that would only be possible, or the cutting of that key would be possible, by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes part and parcel of our lives, then a person will be able to be called a true mu'min. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. That none of you can be a true believer until his desires, his whims and fancies, and everything that he thinks of will come in total conformity to that which I have brought. Meaning his entire life is in conformity with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then only will a person be able to be called a true mu'min and a true believer. And when we look at the surah Kahf that we are supposed to be reciting on the day of Jumu'ah, then this is one of the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws to our attention. That these youngsters, though they were young, but they understood very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us, He has bestowed us with that iman. But then together with that, we are facing a crisis of kufr, a crisis of disbelief. For the king of the time, Diqyanus, was enforcing the rule of idol worship for all the subordinates of the kingdom, for all the residents of the kingdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in glowing words regarding these youngsters, that إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. That they tried all means, that just living amongst the people was not possible for them anymore. For the king realized and understood that these youngsters are from the royal family as well. And they have challenged me, that I am asking them and I am commanding them to worship the idols. And now they are challenging me by saying that they cannot worship the idols. So these youngsters understood the importance of iman and the preservation. They turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. That, O Allah, shower us and bestow us with your special rahmah and your special favor. وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. And guide us to a way so that we will be able to protect ourselves from this difficulty and this oppression that we are facing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the entire incident of the Ashabul Kahf. But this was that lesson from this incident of the Ashabul Kahf, amongst the many other lessons from there, that the preservation of iman and the importance of preserving and looking for ways of preserving our iman, that these youngsters never just sat back and felt to themselves that now we are subjected by this king to commit idol worship, so let it be, we will follow what his command is. But rather they understood that we will need to preserve that iman. So a great lesson for each one of us. The preservation of Iman should be of utmost importance in the life of every mu'min and every believer. And together with the preservation of Iman, which would be by following the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and together with following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would be the maintaining of our Islamic identity. That as long as we will maintain our Islamic identity, then it will be possible for us to remain firm on our Iman. But the moment we begin losing our Islamic identity, we take out the topi, we stop allowing the growth of our beards, we stop identifying ourselves as Muslims and believers, and we would begin mingling and joining up with disbelievers, then very swiftly and very quickly that Iman will erode away from our hearts. We would lose that Iman and the yearning of Iman as well. And together with that, that essence of Iman would also be lost. And very soon, a person would then fall into kufr and disbelief. And together with understanding the great bounty and the great ni'mat of Iman itself, together with that is to value and cherish the various structures of deen and Iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with. Particularly in our country and in our landscape. That if we have to compare the bounties in the form of the structures of deen and Iman, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala country with the other countries of the world, with third world countries, then this is something which is far-fetched for them to ever think of. That in third world countries, for them to have to very openly practice their Iman and deen, in first world countries, for them to very openly practice their Iman and deen, for them to construct masajid, for them to build their darul ulooms, for them to have their marakis of deen, for them to have their makatib, etc., is not something simple like ourselves. That for us it would be a very simple task, but for them it is extremely difficult. That an alim was just explaining last week, that he was explaining that in one state of America, that in a region of approximately 400 square kilometers, there was just one qabristan for all the Muslims, and one ghusl khana for all the Muslims. Whereas the number of Muslims just in that one state numbered over 500,000. So they had to just depend on one ghusl khana and one qabristan. And together with that, they were just, according to his count, 12 upright ulama, ulama of our understanding, ulama of how we would understand deen to be, for that entire region. So when this is the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed those people in compared to us, then how much should we value and how much should we cherish these structures of deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with? And if we do not cherish these structures of deen, the madaris, the ulama, the darul ulooms, the makatib, the marakis of deen, and the ability of practicing deen very freely and very simply, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just within a second, within a flash of a moment, can cause the tables to turn. That if we have to look at the incidents of the past, the history of the past nations, in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just take the example of Spain. That Spain was a very flourishing Muslim country, a very flourishing Muslim state, from which great ulama were produced. From there was the greatest of qurra were produced, the greatest of muhaddithin and mufassirin were produced, whose kitabs till now bear testimony to the greatness of those ulama. But then when the value of Iman, the value of the structures of deen came out of the hearts of those people, then all of that was lost. And those very same believers were then chased out of Spain. And now there is no trace of Iman left in that very same country. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us firstly with this great ni'mat and this great bounty of Iman. And together with that, He has blessed us with the bounty of all these structures for the preservation of our Iman. And these two bounties have to be greatly cherished, greatly valued. And that is why we will have to continuously make dua firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have been taught in this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, that oh, the controller and turner of hearts, that allow my heart to be firm upon deen, that don't allow my heart to be just turned away for a moment from deen. So we will first have to continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then secondly, emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring it into our lives. Teach it to our youngsters, our children. For the challenges out there in the world, with each coming day, with each coming hour, new challenges, new developments against deen are just on the increase. That every day brings a new fitna, a new trial for every mu'min and every believer. So we will also have to understand what are the various challenges out there in the world, what will we need to protect ourselves from, and what we need to protect our children and our future generations from. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve our iman, to allow us to remain with iman till death, and to allow us to value all the structures of iman and deen that we have in our country. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.